The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on April 12, 1987 in Sridham, Mayapur, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 15.
Satsanga,
Satsanga,
Bhramsitai,
Bhramsitai,
Aishwaryam,
Aishwaryam,
Samsarantam,
Samsarantam,
Kuba,
Kuba,
Aryavat,
Aryavat,
Tat,
Tat,
Gatir,
Gatir,
Abuddhasyeha,
Abuddhasyeha,
Kim,
Kim,
Asat,
Asat,
Karmavir,
Karmavir,
Bhavet,
Bhavet,
Satsanga Bhramsitai Swaryam
Satsanga Bhramsitai Swaryam
Samsarantam Kubaryavad Tadgatir Abhudasyeha
Tadgatir Abhudasyeha
Kimmasat Karma Virbhavet
Kimmasat Karma Virbhavet
Satsanga Bhramsitai Swaryam
Satsanga
Sangsaram Tankubaryavad Tadgatir Abhudasyeha Himmasat Karmavir Bhave Tatsanga
By association with
the prostitute of intelligence. Bhramsita,
Bhramsita,
taken away,
taken away.
Aishwarya,
Aishwarya,
the
opulence
of independence,
of independence.
Sangsaranta,
Sangsaranta,
undergoing,
undergoing
the way of material life,
the way of material life.
Ku,
ku,
barya,
barya,
but,
exactly like a person.
Who has a polluted wife?
Who has a polluted wife?
Tatgati.
Tatgati.
The movements of.
Movements of.
The polluted intelligence.
The polluted intelligence.
Abuddhasya.
Abuddhasya.
Of one who does not know.
Of one who does not know.
Iha.
Iha.
In this world.
In this world.
Kim.
Kim.
Asat.
Karmavi,
Bhavet, what can be the benefit of performing temporary fruitive activities?
Of performing temporary fruitive activities.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Vaichand Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yes. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband of the prostitute. The Hariyaswas understood this as follows. If one becomes the husband of a prostitute, he loses all independence. Similarly, if a living entity has polluted intelligence, he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature, he must follow the movements of the intelligence, which brings various conditions of happiness and distress. If one performs fruitive activities under such conditions, what will be the benefit? Translation with repetition. Narada Muni had also spoken of a man who is the husband
of
the prostitute.
Of the prostitute.
The Hariyavas.
The Hariyavas.
Understood this as follows.
Understood this as follows.
If one becomes the husband,
of
a prostitute,
he
loses all independence.
He loses all independence.
Similarly, if a living entity,
has polluted intelligence,
he prolongs his materialistic life. Frustrated by material nature,
he
must follow the movements.
He must follow the movements
of the intelligence,
of the intelligence,
which brings various conditions,
which brings various conditions
of happiness and distress,
of happiness and distress.
If one performs fruitive activities, under such conditions, what will be the benefit?
What will be the benefit?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Polluted intelligence has been compared to a prostitute. One who has not purified his intelligence is said to be controlled by that prostitute. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:41, Yavasayatmika buddhir ikaha kudunandana. Those who are actually serious are conducted by one kind of intelligence, namely intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Bahusakha yanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. One who is not fixed in proper intelligence discovers many modes of life. Thus involved in material activities, he is exposed to the different modes of material nature and subjected to varieties of so-called happiness and distress. If a man becomes the husband of a prostitute, he cannot be happy. And similarly, one who follows the dictations of material intelligence and material consciousness will never be happy. One must judiciously understand the activities of material nature. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:27, Prakriti kriyamananai gunai karmani sarvasa ahankara vimuratma kortaham iti manyate. Translation. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by nature. Although one follows the dictations of material nature, he happily thinks himself the master or husband of nature life after life, not caring to understand the Supreme Person, under whose direction everything within this material world is moving. Trying to be the masters of material nature, they are imitation gods who declare to the public that scientific advancement will one day be able to avoid the so-called control of God. In fact, however, the living being, unable to control the rulings of God, is forced to associate with the prostitute of polluted intelligence and accept various material bodies, as in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakritijanjunam karanam gunasangosya sat asatyoni janmasu. Translation. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. If one fully engages in very fruitive activities and does not solve this real problem, what profit will he gain? Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport to chapters, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Text 15 of the Bhaktivedanta Swami purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The previous verse explained, mixed with the Narada Muni had described a woman who is a professional prostitute. The Haryasvas understood the identity of this woman. Mixed with the mode of passion, translation, mixed with the mode of passion, the unsteady intelligence of every living entity is like a prostitute who changes dresses just to attract one's attention. If one fully engages in temporary fruitive activities, not understanding how this is taking place, what does he actually gain? So, Narada Muni had given some allegorical instructions, which were almost like riddles. But the Haryaswas could understand the purport. Normally one may give a philosophical point and then give some example to demonstrate that. Narada Muni gave the examples without the philosophical explanation. The Haryaswas, they are giving the philosophical explanation to the examples he gave, understanding the meaning. This is an interesting form of discussion. This had also happened when Narada Muni explained some stories to the king of the Pachina, Maharaj Pachinabahi, in the story of Puranjana. In any case, today we're discussing about the intelligence. Intelligence is normally polluted or affected by the mode of passion in the material world. When this happens, it means the intelligence is always very fickle, very changing, going from one thing to the next, trying to rationalize and find what will give one happiness. When one doesn't feel happy with one thing, it goes on to the next. So in this way, one is always going from one thing to another, and the consciousness is not at all fixed. Sometimes the intelligence may be splayed into different directions. This can become so acute that a person could become schizophrenic, having even a split personality, or having various types of mental problems, all due to a mind not being properly controlled by the intelligence. So, to practice Krishna consciousness, it's essential to bring the intelligence under the control of the Atma. There's a famous example, I'm sure everyone has heard. Srila Prabhupada explained the difference between the activities in Krishna consciousness and material activities. That material activities are based in the gross matter. Gross matter forms or is objects of sense gratification. So the senses of the body, they are concentrating on the objects of the senses, the objects of seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, thinking, smelling. Then the mind is engaged in providing information and input for the senses. The intelligence guides the mind in serving the senses, which are serving dull matter. And the soul, or the living force in the body, that is simply going on blindly, following. So ultimately, in material life, everything is headed towards serving dull matter. The reverse is true for Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, the object of service is Krishna. The soul, or Atma, is surrendered to Krishna, and the intelligence is engaged in devotional service to, is engaged under the service of the soul. The intelligence directs the mind, because say a thought comes in the mind, we can intelligently decide to think about that or to change the thought. For instance, someone gets angry and he thinks, I should kill this person. He's my enemy. Now, one's intelligence could tell one, that's not a good thought. If you continue to think in this way, you'll go to jail. It'll be a bad karma, or sinful, or it'll cause you so many troubles, or something like that. Or one's intelligence in the mode of ignorance may direct one, yes, you want to kill the person, this is how to do it. So this is a good idea. So that the intelligence is able to discriminate between different ideas coming up in the mind. So the Krishna conscious intelligence takes the mind away from thoughts which are not Krishna conscious and applies the mind on thoughts which are beneficial to one's spiritual advancement. So the mind engages the senses in Krishna conscious activities, thinking of different Krishna conscious ideas for serving. And the senses use the dull matter in Krishna's service. Just like this book is made out of so many material elements, but took intelligence to typeset, to translate and typeset and publish this book, distribute it. So all that intelligence is Krishna conscious intelligence, because it's being used for Krishna. Same intelligence is also used to print a pornographic book. But there the object is simply to give some form of temporary sense gratification without any higher spiritual objective. So, this way, either one's energy is being directed upwards towards Krishna, going from dull matter to the senses, to the mind, to the intelligence, to the soul, to Krishna, or the opposite is true, that all the energy is being directed down to serving the objects of the senses. But those who are self-realized souls, they understand there's a difference between matter and a living force. When my mother came to Mayapur in 1977, my Purvashrami mother, my previous ashram's mother, Sannyasi's previous life is considered the previous ashram. It's a new life now. So that ashram's mother, when she came here and saw Srila Prabhupada, she didn't have an understanding about what was matter and what was spirit. So Prabhupada took the time to personally preach to her and explain to her how we should understand that in the body there's a living force, there's a dynamic energy. And this dynamic energy is actually who we are, that's the self. When that dynamic living force leaves the body is considered dead or it's a dull matter. When that living force is in the body, then the body is alive. Actual life has nothing to do with the body. Body is a complicated mechanism made of material nature to allow the living force to function in the material world according to its karmas, according to its desires. So, Srila Prabhupada was able to, this very simple example, impress very deeply on my previous ashram's mother regarding this basic truth of spiritual life. So, we have the choice of bringing the intelligence under the soul or allowing the intelligence to simply be fickle and go here and there serving material nature. If we let the mind free, we think that's freedom. The mind can think of anything and just create any kind of plan for enjoying material nature. But that is not considered real freedom. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, that entity has a polluted intelligence. And by that type of intelligence, one will lose all freedom. Just as if, say, a householder has a very faithful wife, householder is also good husband, protecting his wife. Husband and wife are very faithful to each other. Now he's free to do various activities, do his occupation, without very much anxiety. But his wife, if she's very unfaithful, or as compared here, she's like a prostitute, as soon as she gets a chance, if she'll cheat on him and go with some other man, then he'll be always in anxiety. Because he may also be attached to his wife, so then he'll always have to think of various ways of keeping his wife satisfied day and night and keeping her from being, have to always be occupied with her, because otherwise she'll go off with some other man. So actually, where is his freedom? He's totally tied down. So if one's intelligence is like that, if it's in Krishna, then one is actually free to engage in so many different devotional services for Krishna, to engage in the mind and senses and various types of activities, and one can be very peaceful and actually choose the proper direction where one can be developed fully, one's full potential. But when one is mind, intelligence is uncontrolled, then even though one may have an idea at this time, let me do this particular thing, because the intelligence is uncontrolled, it's being controlled rather by the lower impulses, that as soon as something different influences that intelligence, then one's intelligence is taken off of its previous track and it goes to some other direction. You can see just like a small child whose intelligence is not fully developed. They may be doing something, they may even have a 100-rupee note. But if you offer here, take a lozenge, as soon as the senses see the lozenge, mind gets attracted, the intelligence, the undeveloped intelligence thinks, yes, I should enjoy this lozenge. So just give me that piece of paper and you take the lozenge. So they give the 100-rupee note, they'll take their 10 paisa lozenge. After having lozenge, then after a few minutes something else, bird may come. This way the mind is going, there's no control. So even a grown person, their intelligence is developed. So they have more sophisticated plans and they have a particular way they're going. But that intelligence can also be easily deviated. For instance, Kamsa. Kamsa was a great king. He was an emperor. He had many other kings under him. He was efficient in his government and political activity. I don't know if there's anyone as efficient as Kamsa was in the world today as far as administration. But Kamsa was a total materialist. He was envious of Krishna or God. That's one of the symptoms normally materialists develop. Some are simply materialistic, and some are materialistic plus envious of Krishna. Those who are simply materialistic, they are considered innocent people. They can easily be saved. Materialism is not a permanent disease. That is a superficial covering of the soul. But in Kamsa's case, it was a very compounding thing. But nonetheless, the symptoms are similar in terms of the material activity. Whether you're just a gross materialist or whether one is a gross materialist come demon. In terms of material activities, it's the same. The difference is that someone who's very inimical to Krishna, it's harder for them to awaken their spiritual consciousness. And for one who may simply be an illusion, it's easy for them to awaken their spiritual consciousness. There's no obstacle as such. Because material consciousness is simply due to ignorance of our real spiritual transcendental position. If we have transcendental knowledge, we can easily transcend the material ignorance. Just like it was dark at Mangalarti, But right after Mangal Arati, the sun came up, the darkness went away. Then we can see everything. So in the same way, one may be in ignorance and be acting as a total materialist due to not understanding who one is, that there's a difference between matter and spirit, that there are higher laws controlling the material nature, and that as a human being, with our developed intelligence, we should overcome these laws by proper activities and not simply be moved here and there as a type of pawn of the material nature. So Kamsa, being a very, he was taking, at the time of his sister's marriage, Devaki, he was taking his sister and his new brother-in-law, Vasudev, in his chariot. It's the Indian custom that when the husband and wife, the bride goes to the husband's house, some relative, normally say a brother, should accompany so that she won't feel, any inconvenience or abandoned or anything. But the Indian system is that the bride goes to the house and lives with the husband. Now, of course, this joint family is breaking up. But the previous system was that the son will continue to live with his mother and father. And wife will go and live with that family. In this way, there's a type of joint family system, which is still very prevalent everywhere in India, except gradually going decayed in the bigger cities. So, in this time, Kamsa was taking his sister Devaki and Vasudev, his brother-in-law, in his chariot, accompanied with so many musicians and other attendants. All of a sudden, there was a Doivavani, or a type of oracle from the sky, that Devaki's eighth son, Krishna, would kill Kamsa. So as soon as Kamsa heard that, even though he was driving the chariot for his sister and brother-in-law, he was being a perfect host and a brother, it was the wedding day, there were so many relatives. As soon as he heard that, immediately his intelligence switched. I must defend myself. And he immediately saw his sister as his enemy. Pulled out his sword, grabbed his sister by the hair, and immediately proceeded to cut her head off until Vasudev objected that, please don't kill your sister. It will. So, of course, that's another story. The point is that Kamsa, he may have had one type of intelligence. Yes, let me please my sister, let me make my brother-in-law happy, let me be the perfect host, that they be the perfect brother. In this way, as soon as another interest took prominence, his intelligence changed and he became a totally different person. Hateful, angry, murderous, cruel, killing an innocent woman, descended on the basis of some oracle, suddenly he became totally transformed. So, this is the difficulty of material life. Person may appear very nice, very wonderful, but if they're materialistic, if their intelligence is simply based in the material world, you cannot depend upon it. However nice they might be, if somehow their intelligence sees that their own interest, their material interest, they're depending on their particular conception at that time, and that conception is also subject to change, then they can totally change and become a different person. But a devotee, because his intelligence is fixed in Krishna consciousness, the devotee is totally fixed in serving Krishna, that they do not change in this way. Therefore, a devotee is considered to be the satsanga, or a real good association for advancing in spiritual life. For instance, Vidura. Vidura was the brother of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was a blind king. He had 100 sons who were also, although they were not blind, but they were spiritually blind. They were envious of Krishna's devotees, Pandavas. And they were very materialistic. So they kept making plans to eliminate their cousin brothers, various political intrigues, to assassinate them so that they could enjoy the absolute authority over a kingdom which was not rightfully theirs. Now Vidura, he was a neutral party. He could see that what they were doing was ultimately bad for their own future. It was, in every respect, improper and inauspicious. It was simply going to create suffering for them. And he would go, and he would give good advice to Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra wouldn't take it normally. One time it reached such a head that when Vidura gave advice to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, especially to Dhritarashtra not to listen to Duryodhana, his eldest son, because he was giving advice which was simply bent to destroy the entire dynasty by engaging everyone in a useless war, Duryodhana became so hateful, he started to just criticize Vidura, calling him as a dog, so many critical words. As a result, Vidura, he simply thought, what is the use of staying here and giving advice when no one was going to listen to it? So he left and he went and visited all the holy places in India and let them suffer their own fate. He didn't have any bad feeling. He was hurt that his relatives were criticizing him when he was trying to offer. But that was a temporary sentiment, which immediately he just had proper intelligence, and he thought, what to do? Let me do something which will be more beneficial, since here I'm not, even though they're the emperors, they're not listening to my good advice. So he went and visited the holy places. In the meantime, the Kurukshetra war was held, and Duryodhana and his brothers were killed, which, had they listened to Vidura's good advice, they could have avoided. So you have the difference in intelligence. One intelligence, if it's fixed in Krishna consciousness, they're saved from making so many blunders, which will simply cause suffering. A person whose intelligence is fixed in material nature, material desires, they're going to be swept away by so many currents of the material world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give us a very simple method of engaging our intelligence by giving us Krishna's service. First we need to purify the intelligence because it's polluted. Suddenly, even if you just say that now I'm going to start to think just like a Krishna conscious person, even if a person has that desire, we cannot just suddenly change the momentum and the way in which we've been thinking and willing and feeling just in 1 second, because the consciousness is impure, it's polluted. We need to purify them. So we purify that consciousness. Of course, that purification is not dependent upon time. But that purification is actually to engage the mind, intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna, spreading the Sankirtan movement, engaging in devotional service, worshipping Krishna, and studying these Vedic literatures which purify the intelligence to understand how everything is working in this world and what is our relationship with Krishna and how we can engage in Krishna's service and what is the perfection of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he engaged different devotees in different types of devotional service, like Lord Nityananda Prabhu. When Raghunath Das Goswami came to him in Panihati, he told Raghunath Das that, "I'm going to punish you because you tried to jump over the Guru." Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to go to join Lord Chaitanya's movement. So several times, he tried to run away from home. He ran away from home and tried to join Lord Chaitanya. Now, Raghunath Das' father was a very rich landlord. In fact, he had to pay annual taxes to the emperor 1.2 million gold coins. A Krugerrand gold coin now is worth $400. And those days, a gold coin was what, a tola? How many tolas was a gold coin?
Masha.
How many grams? Or tola? One tola was a gold coin. So that's 11 grams. Or you can say more than a third of an ounce. So that means, at least even by today's time, he was just paying annual taxes of over $150 million. But in those days, they just used coin shells. They didn't even use coins for normal things. They just used coin shells. A gold coin, a person could live his whole life on one gold coin. What to speak of what he was keeping as his own share. That was what he was paying in taxes. So Raghunath Das, he had all facility. His uncle and father were fantastically rich. But he didn't have any attachment for it. He wanted to join Lord Chaitanya and simply engage in the Sankirtan movement. But Lord Chaitanya told him, "No, you just remain in your house and engage all the facilities for Krishna." So after a long time, Raghunath Das was thinking, "Why is it that I'm not able to join Lord Chaitanya?" So he went to see Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda told him, "I'm going to punish you because you tried to approach Krishna himself." Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. You tried to directly approach Krishna without going to the Guru. Nityananda is the original Guru. If you want to approach Lord Chaitanya, you have to go to Nityananda. Just as if you want to approach Krishna, you have to go through Guru. So then, Lord Nityananda said that your punishment will be you have to take a big feast for all the devotees here. But because it's hot weather, just like 1 month from now, when it gets a little hot, warmer, it's more or less the same heat, but after a while it gets a little overwhelming. So Krishna sends a kind of relief. He sends a lot of fruit, lychees, mangoes, jackfruit, bananas, jam, all different types of fruit. If you see the baby mangoes just by the side of, in front of the temple, the mangoes are on the tree here. So Krishna sends the right fruit at the right time, the right food at the right time. So when it's very warm, especially you like to take very cooling food. So Lord Nityananda, it's the month of June, beginning of June, end of May, this festival falls. He requested that you provide a feast of yogurt, flattened rice and fruits. So Raghunath Das in Panihati, he sent all of his aides. Of course, he was a very rich person, so he had no difficulty. So he started ordering. And they have very big clay pots known as jalas in Bengal. I don't know in other parts they may also have, but a jala is sometimes 6 feet or 2 meters high. So he had some pretty big jalas brought, and he filled them with huge clay pots. He filled them with chira, dahi, and chini chapa kola is a type of banana that according to scientists, is the highest percentage of sugar of any banana in the world. They're known as chini chapa or sugar chapa bananas. So like this, you got various high quality fruits, mixed it together with chira and doi, another pot they use condensed milk, and popped or puffed rice. Not the normal, that this is inflated rice. Popped rice. It's actually popped open, known as koi. So, making all these preparations, gradually, more and more people, they heard there's going to be a big feast. So they all, in Bengal, if you say there's going to be a mahotsav or a feast, people come out of nowhere. Yesterday you saw, maybe some of you saw the drama, dance drama of the Aryan dance troupe. Lord Nityananda started to throw ladus into the crowd. Everyone immediately grabbed for it. So this is a custom here. If there's a prasadam feast, the people, they like to get some prasad. Even a small amount, they'll be very happy. So as soon as they heard that Lord Nityananda had called for devotees to be fed, immediately everyone came. And as one person saw, where are you going? He said, there's a special festival feast going on. Just spontaneously, no one was invited. To this day, this festival is still being held. No one. So then, they all started to come to the Panihati Ganges side, where Lord Nityananda was sitting on a raised platform under a banyan tree, and where Raghunath Das was. We saw there's more and more people coming. He sent his servants, bring more. So they had to go further into the village, and they were filling up bullock carts with yogurt, fruit, bringing. And there was a continuous caravan of various supplies coming in. And as more supplies were coming, more people were coming. So it just kept on going. Then Raghunath Das, Raghava Pandit, he came to give Lord Nityananda lunch. But now it's time to come and eat your rice, dal, and sabjis. And Lord Nityananda said, I'll take lunch in the evening. Today we're having a picnic here under the tree. So then Lord Nityananda, he was given his two pots, all of his associates were given chira and dahi and fruits and condensed milk and koi, the puffed rice and flattened rice. So in this way, they're taking prasadam, and they made a seat for Lord Chaitanya, although Lord Chaitanya was at that time in Jagannath Puri. But Lord Chaitanya actually came through his mystic opulence, and he was present there, taking the prasadam with Lord Nityananda. And those who were very fortunate, they could see. And Lord Nityananda, he came completely in the mood of being in the forest with the cowherd boy, just like that big picture in the prasadam pavilion. On one side is actually this pastime of Panihati, I believe. Another side is the boys in Vrindavan taking picnic with Krishna. So they were all. So Lord Nityananda, he started to take the chira and dahi and started to feed it to the Lord Chaitanya. He started to go around, and just as Krishna and Balaram, they would treat all of their devotees as equals. Sakya rasa, or the rasa of friendship, means that Krishna treats his friends as equals. And the friends treat Krishna as a friend, as an equal. Don't consider Krishna to be God. They consider Krishna just to be their dearmost friend. So in this mood, Lord Nityananda was taking food from everyone's pot, and he was eating it, and he was giving it to Lord Chaitanya and eating. And actually what mood they had, of course, we cannot fully understand or explain. But they were having their pastime in this way, taking the food from their own devotees. But when the people were watching, they were seeing Nityananda take some prasad from the pot and then put it in the air, and it was disappearing. Because he was feeding it to Lord Chaitanya, but then his hand went and he was taking. So people couldn't really understand what was going on. Meanwhile, Raghunath Das, he was using his intelligence how to feed the hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands who were coming. And so he had to continue making more and more arrangements, more and more people coming. Finally, the people, they were standing on the Ganges side, Then some were being pushed into the water. They're standing in the water. Some were up to their chest in the water eating prasad. There's no room on the land. Actually, Krishna gives intelligence to the devotees how to serve. In this way, their intelligence is considered purified because they're using it to serve Krishna. And Maya, she gives her intelligence to those who want to enjoy the material world. But that intelligence is considered polluted by Maya. And therefore one forgets his spiritual position in relationship to Krishna. Now, this Paniyati festival shows how Raghunath Das used his intelligence and how he pleased Lord Nityananda. Actually, this Paniyati festival is still going on. And Prabhupada wanted us to participate in that festival and actually even instructed some devotees to build a temple there on that place where Lord Nityananda sat with Lord Chaitanya for this festival. We hope in the future that can... In fact, he authorized the BBT funds to be used for that project. It was so important to him. He said there could be motorized launch service from Calcutta to Mayapur, taking people by boat, by motorboat. And on the way they could stop for a big picnic at Panihati and then go on. Now there's a tree there, but there's no temple at that place. So when we first went to the Paniyati festival after Prabhupada had requested us to go, we brought Nithai Gaur deities in the boat, and we brought provisions from Mayapur and various places by lorry. We had never been to a Paniyati festival before. When we got there, we were late as usual, at least usual for me. It was about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. By that time, already a couple hundred thousand people had gathered, up to 300,000-400,000 get there. And the roads were totally blocked, and there was no way to get the prasadam to the tree. There was no... First the boat came and brought Nithai Gaur. So when Nithai Gaur came, the people that were there chanting, one singer, all of a sudden he saw Lord Nityananda, beautiful deity of Nithai Pada Kamala, the boat deities that Prabhupada installed. And when he saw, he started to sing in Bengali. He started to sing, Nityananda has come. And he started to sing, Nityananda SHA, Nityananda SHA, Nityananda has come, Nityananda has come. He's come to give us mercy. He's come to give mercy to us. And then this way he started singing, everyone started chanting and shouting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. We put Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya right on the seat. Well, they never expected us to be there either. Otherwise, a number of professional brahmanas who normally take that seat and do their particular pastimes at that place. So we didn't know this, but we somehow came because this person was singing, everyone was chanting, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya got established there, and the brahmanas had to move over, which they weren't so happy about, but there was nothing to be done. But there was no way of getting the chira and yogurt and everything through the hundreds of thousands of people through very narrow roads about 1 kilometer away to that place. So you're just thinking, Krishna, how are we going to do this? We want to distribute chira and doi to all the people, offer you prasadam and alboga and distribute the prasad to all these people. All of a sudden, there was a blue sky. There was nothing on. All of a sudden, a black cloud came right overhead. And it started to just pour rain, just heavy, intense rain pour. That singer started to sing, Dekho, look it! Nityananda's raining mercy on us! All of a sudden, because of heavy rain, all the people that were in the road, they went off the road, and they went by the side, by the buildings, under the trees, and for that moment, the road was empty. Immediately, we sent someone and brought all the provisions. As much as we could bring on their head, they brought it all down to the tree. As soon as they got to the tree, the cloud stopped raining, the people went back on the road, it was closed up. But only half the provisions had got there. Someone forgot to bring the yogurt. They just brought all the chira. We said, oh no, how are we going to, now we can't have chira and dahi without the dahi, without the yogurt. So then somehow again the devotees went back, they're waiting, they're trying to figure out how they're going to take the yogurt through this huge crowd. All of a sudden, again the cloud came, pouring, again the road opened, they brought the yogurt down, got to the side of the tree. By that time they'd already cleaned all the chira and cut the fruit and everything. They got there to the tree with the hundreds and hundreds of kilos of yogurt, and then whoop, the rain stopped. Then we made the chira dahi, offered the 108 clay pots of chira and dahi to Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, and many big drums, and we started to distribute the prasadam. But anyway, that's a whole other pastime. Actually, about 25,000 people at least we were able, I don't know how many, at least 25,000 to 50,000 got by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that pastime is still going on, all because the devotee, Raghunath Das, started to think, uses and tell, why is it that I'm being refused by Lord Chaitanya? Maybe I should go to Lord Nityananda and get his instruction. This is a proper, a devotee should think, what are the obstacles in my path? Let me go to the Guru and find out. Why is it that I'm not able to progress? He went there, Nityananda gave him a service and purified him, and then later he also gave him the blessing he could join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went and he became the personal assistant of Sarup Damodar in Jagannath Puri, having the opportunity to personally associate with Lord Chaitanya on a day-to-day basis. So that festival is still going on. Devotees go there every year and continue to distribute prasadam. Now we have a separate pandal. They've given us a separate place where we have a pandal, and we build shoots. So we build different arrangements so people can come and take prasadam without trampling each other. And it's very well appreciated. Actually, that time when that was raining and the people got that prasadam, they became so ecstatic that I saw some people, because it was a little muddy because of the rain, they started rolling in the mud. Or they fell in the mud and they just, all right, they're covered. They're still just dancing. They were totally beyond the bodily conception of life at that moment. They're simply absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. Then after taking a little prasadam, then they'll go, the Ganges are there, they go in the Ganges, take a little bath. And this way the whole day is spent chanting Hare Krishna, taking a little prasadam, and then they eat. That's the entire pastime. Yet everyone is totally happy, totally satisfied. So we of course owe our eternal gratitude to Raghunath Das Goswami, and of course to Lord Nityananda. So we should also use our intelligence and take the shelter of Lord Nityananda, his representatives, and understand what is the actual purpose of life, and then fix our consciousness in achieving the absolute truth and achieving the real purpose of life. Otherwise, we'll just be drawn from here to there, we'll lose our freedom. By fixing the consciousness in Krishna consciousness, one actually becomes a truly free person, a liberated person. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadharo Srivasani Gaur Bhakti Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Any questions? Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda.